Same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated, and I'd like to invite the...
I think we got enough, guys. Let's leave this here. Okay? Thank you. Ben, you want to sit on that so it stays in place? Thank you.
Me too.
All right. Thanks, David. Well, good morning, everybody. How are you? Good. Gino, you want to have a seat with us? All right. Fair enough. Okay. So you see what I have here. What is this? A light, right? And a light can be something that's very helpful sometimes, right? When is it helpful? In the dark, right?
And then after different times, different lessons.
Okay, yeah.
You need a
when you're going trick-or-treat, there are all kinds of times when a light might be helpful, right? But what if you do like I do when I try to take a picture and you put your hand over this part? The light doesn't work very well, right? It doesn't really help to be a light if you can't see the light.
And you have here.
Yes, exactly. So let's move from the light for a second because we know light can be helpful in the dark as long as we don't cover it. What do I have here?
Salt.
Salt.
That's for dinner.
Yes, it is for dinner. And how is salt helpful for dinner? Putting on the food, right? And sometimes the salt can make it taste a little bit better?
Yeah.
But sometimes, maybe we don't use enough salt. Maybe we let the salt get too old. Maybe we even drop the salt on the ground or on the table. And then the salt's not much good, right? Or in the ocean. There's plenty of salt in the ocean. That is true. So the salt isn't good unless we put it on the food. Now, it might seem a little strange to talk about salt and light, but that's what Jesus was talking to his followers about in our gospel today. And Jesus tells his followers, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world." Now, the cool thing about that is, salt is helpful and good, light is helpful and good, and that means God has made us to be helpful and good. And it doesn't take a lot of effort on our part. We don't have to work hard to be God's good people. God has just made us that way. So the only thing that God asks us to do is to be helpful to people like salt and light are. So what are some ways that we could be salt and light? How can we help people?
Put batteries in the
flashlight
or in the phone.
Put batteries in the flashlight? Charge up the phone. Okay, that way we're going to be light. Very good. Shovel snow for someone who can't do it. Very good.
Put salt on the steps.
That's the part I love about this gospel, Amos, is that salt still can be helpful if we drop it on the floor so we don't slip. But anyway, there are many, many ways that we can help other people, just like salt and light help us. And that's what Jesus asked us to do this week. Okay, so we give thanks for that. Let's pray together. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, we thank you for salt and light. We thank you that you have made us to be salt and light for your people, to give them help, to support them, and to show your love in all things. Help us to be and show salt and light to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks everybody. Grace and peace to you from God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A community like this at St. Andrew is always changing. And such change seems to happen pretty quickly here compared to many other churches I've been a part of. People tend to come here for a time for education or residencies or other jobs, and then often have to move on to the next place that God is calling them. And while this presents challenges for those of us who like the comfort of the familiar, ongoing transition can be a gift for the rest of us because it prepares us to live and serve in our daily lives in a context outside these walls that moves and shifts even more quickly than what we see in the church. We're always having to adapt. But today's gospel speaks to what is unchanging amid everything we encounter, because at the heart of it, I would argue, is the grace and faithfulness of God as revealed in Jesus Christ. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is emphasizing that he has come not to abolish what has come before, not to get rid of the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. The promises of God that first came to the people of Israel long, long ago remain in place, and that arc of God's care for the world and its people, God's ongoing desire for justice and healing, still is unfolding in Jesus. God remains consistent and consistently present through it all. And through Jesus, God's grace continues to be poured out to God's people. What I love most, I think, about this gospel is that Jesus does not tell his listeners, "You need to be salt for the earth. You need to be light for the world," making yet another demand on their lives. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." This is not a status achieved by our own skill or striving or effort. This is simply the goodness and righteousness of God who made us and gave us the grace to share with others. We are freed then from the burden of having to work so hard and achieve enough to be what God wants us to be. We are simply called to respond, to be the salt and light that we have been made to be so that others may experience those gifts in and through us. We strive to ground ourselves in our life together in the church in grace, as we see in the words of Matthew's gospel and is first expressed to us in the sacrament of holy baptism. In the waters of that sacrament, God began God's relationship with us, pouring over us in the water the promises of grace and forgiveness and life. And we know that our part in that covenant is simply to respond faithfully to God's gifts, letting the light God has made us to be shine in all that we do. Now, you may have noticed today or in previous years that when we invite newcomers into the life of the congregation of St. Andrew, we do so somewhat differently and with more of a process than many other churches do. And many might ask why that's necessary. Why do we take time in worship today and in the weeks leading up to Easter to welcome people, to bless them, to pray for them, to pledge our support for them? Why do we invite them into a multi-week process of prayer and reflection on Scripture, listening for God's call, talking about faith in community? Well, I would say for starters, this is because in baptism we are taught that the life of Christian faith is to be one that is lived in community. We are called to live among God's faithful people. We are called to hear the Word of God and share in the sacraments together in the context of community. And so a process for people new to the church is not just about them. It is about the sponsors who pray for them. It is about the entire congregation who surrounds them and prays for them as they prepare to affirm their baptism. And I would add one more wrinkle, that when we invite people into this process, when we encourage the whole congregation to share in it, we do so not because people are seeking to be members of organizations these days. That's barely a thing anymore. We don't do so for the good of our church as an institution, though we are certainly blessed by the gifts that new people bring. But we do so because this life of faith, the life of baptismal living, is not ultimately about St. Andrew Lutheran Church at all. The mission of God's reign, the mission of God's work that we are blessed to be a part of, is far larger than any one denomination or congregation. For we know and we see in Scripture that God sends people to use their gifts, sends us to use our gifts and do ministry in so many different ways, across many different places throughout our lives. Some of us sitting here today may be members of numerous other faith communities beyond our time here. So we focus not on becoming members of St. Andrew as an institution, but on becoming disciples of Jesus Christ, of living into this role and this being that Jesus has given us to be salt and light for the world. We seek to develop faith practices, tools of discipleship that will serve well not just in this setting, but wherever God may lead us next. Whether it's worship, whether it's prayer, whether it's study of Scripture, talking about faith, hospitality, life in community, these are all gifts that will continue to shape us as followers of Jesus and help us to discern how God is calling us to live our baptisms in our vocations beyond these walls, using the gifts that God has given each one of us. This way, we are prepared and enabled to share the good news of God's love, serve others as Jesus did, and strive for justice and peace in all the earth, living as the salt and light that God made us to be. All the gifts we hear about in this gospel, saltness, light, the city on the hill, all these are a gift from God's grace. We don't achieve them by our own efforts, but we are invited to consider our response. Surely there are times when we have lost our saltness, times when we have failed to bring flavor to the world around us. There are definitely times when we have hidden the light God makes us to be under the figurative bushel basket. And yet the good news of God is that there is grace and forgiveness in the midst of that, and there are new beginnings. God doesn't call us to be perfect. God simply calls us to be faithful. And by grace in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, we are given new beginnings, and by the Spirit, we are empowered to become the people God would have us be, so that we too might participate in God's healing and blessing of all the world. In Matthew's gospel, we are reminded that all that we are and all that we have comes from God. These are gifts of God's grace, and they are poured out to us abundantly through Christ Jesus, the light of the world. Amid our ever-changing lives, the ever-changing church, the ever-changing world around us, this is the gift and promise of God that remains stable and constant and secure. How will we respond? How will you respond? Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to our God in heaven. Amen.